welcome back to the Groundskeeper Chat Series. I am your host, Meg Kruger. We are live from Daytona Beach at the Field Experts SFMA Annual Conference. I am joined by my co-host, Weston Appenfeller, and Mr. Christopher Bell. Hello. And today we have a very exciting guest. He's a first-timer to the series, so we'll take it easy on him. But second time around, no promises. Today's your gimme. Mr. Ben Jackson of the Columbus Crew, I just saw someone congratulating you on a championship well earned. So just walk us through that. You know, for a groundskeeper, what does that feel like? You know, not only have you just gone through an extensive season, you've brought the crew along the whole way, but then to see it end in a win, you know, we'd like to say it's not about the win and losses, but what was that feeling at the end of the day when they did pull it off and win that championship?
Well, first of all, what's up? Thanks for having me on here.
Holla, holla.
I appreciate it. It was exciting, obviously, and really happy for our team to be able to experience that. We were lucky enough to win one in 2020, while a few of us were there, and that was super different. We had, I think it was 1,500 fans in the stands because of COVID, and it was a shortened season. This year was, man, really different. You know, we were a 3 seed going into the playoffs, and I don't want to say this. I don't know if I want to say this on a podcast, but
these can all be edited. Well, no worries.
Just that I don't think, you know, we had a great season, and I don't know if the expectations were for us to do as well as we did, having to go play two away games and win two away games and then come back and host against the defending champion. It was unexpected, but it made it that much sweeter when, you know, we did win. And it's funny because we were, I think it was probably 4 days before the conference final when we played away at Cincinnati. And we had, I think our last game was November 12th, and this would have been, November 30th or something, somewhere in there. And so we'd had three and a half weeks of just kind of like cruising and maintaining and, you know, being ready if the cards fell the way that they would for us to host. Mm-hmm. But we knew more than likely the next two matches were going to be away. And it was like 4 days before that Eastern Conference final. And me and my assistant, Nick, at the stadium we were kind of sitting there looking at weather and everything. And we'd just been on kind of cruise control. And we were like, we should probably start getting ready for this final and the off chance.
This might happen.
Yeah. The off chance that we do win. So luckily we, you know, pulled blankets and did, you know, everything that we needed to do to keep maintaining through that December 9th date. And, it worked out well. And, I was just thrilled for our guys and our staff.
Definitely. Cause
I know as good as it felt, I wish that every grounds crew,
Could experience that
because we're all doing the same things, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't do anything different than the other 28 teams did. Mm-hmm. And so they're almost like a little bit of guilt that comes along with it. And obviously we're not playing. So when people come up and congratulate me, it's like, okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not doing anything different than anybody else is.
Mm-hmm. Well, in a lot of ways, like, you know, not only especially in Columbus, Ohio, you're battling, you know, conditions that other people in the country aren't at that time of year, but also making it so that the crew makes it that long. You know, we don't really have off seasons anymore in this industry.
No.
Like at work, they, you know, talk about busy season, but like it's been busy since we came, like since 2020. It's like, oh, it's now busy season every day. Yeah. Like, how do you keep that, you know, will to come back every single day and give it your best, or, you know, that championship crew mentality, camaraderie, culture? How do you really establish that so that you can make it all the way through a season?
I don't think it's one thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had our professional groundskeepers symposium in Orlando a few days ago before this event here in Daytona. And that was a question that was posed to the panel, four different groundskeepers that were up there. But we also spoke about it as a group in the room, and there were a lot of just you name it, like time off, you know, gifts. I know for us, it's making sure that when we can get away, we are getting away.
Yeah.
Just because we are there at times 6-7 days a week, mm-hmm. 12 months out of the year, and hosting numerous events, two different stadiums. One's a training facility and a second team venue, as well as a concert venue, and mm-hmm. All sorts of multi-sport venue, and also balancing that with the stadium, the downtown stadium, and the training center. Man, it can be a lot, and there's times when, you know, we are there more than we should be, but mm-hmm. it's really giving the managers at each site freedom to recognize when we do need to get away. And also we try to keep it really light too. You know, there's a few, and it's silly to talk about, but it's crazy how big of an impact it makes. So like game day food is great. Like we'll order pizza, or mm-hmm. if everybody's getting bored of pizza, we'll order, I don't know, chicken, whatever, whatever the guys are feeling, but I'll put it out to them and say like, what do you guys want today? And sometimes we spend more money than we should, but, you know, they get excited about it.
Yeah.
And we like to change it up, but also, Nick bought a ping pong table. This was probably like 3 years ago, and thought it would be a great idea to, you know, have a ping pong table in the shop so we could play ping pong. And, that lasted for like a month, maybe not even. It just turned out ping pong was just not it. You know, people would play one-on-one. We would try to play 2-on-2, but all of us aren't very good. And it just kind of petered out. And then I don't know if you guys are familiar with tech ball. Mm-mm. It's kind of like soccer tennis. It's on a basically a ping pong table, but the ends are kind of curved down. It's a big soccer thing. And, I would say most of the teams have tech ball tables at their training center.
Okay.
And, so we had this ping pong table there, and one day somebody got a soccer ball and just like started kicking it up there and playing tech ball. And, it was amazing how
revolutionized
it was like, so, and this was, we mostly only do it on game days. So we'll come in and knock everything out. Mm-hmm. And then we've usually got a little bit of downtime to do that. And, like it's so much fun. Like I'll have to admit, I love playing it. Like,
yeah.
And some of the guys now, I think we started doing it like this summer, I don't know, mid summer. And, the guys now are coming in, we'll set a time mm-hmm. to come in on game day. And they're like, all right, they look at the list. They're like, that's, probably takes 2.5 hours. Let's knock it out in an hour. And they are all just
we need
like,
more time for tech ball.
They are all just like ready to go and like bust everything out. Like
I love that.
I'll like go to the bathroom or go grab a snack and I'll come back and like goals are up, like field set, like they're out there testing and I'm like looking at my watch like, what?
Yeah.
Like, do I need to go around and make sure everything's right and good?
Yeah.
Like you guys got this? And then they're just like running into play. We dubbed it, since we changed some rules to make it easier and there's no net and it doesn't make sense to anybody that's like watching it, but it's so funny. And like we're making new rules all the time.
Well, that camaraderie is what is so unique to this industry. Yeah. When you're spending that much time with people, you need to have, you know, that dialogue outside of the actual task at hand and in that camaraderie and that culture. So it seems silly, but definitely just being able to, you know, if you're all forced to be there, you might as well be having a good time.
Oh yeah, exactly. And it was funny cause I think it was our first season in the new stadium and we were before the tech ball stuff, we were just kind of juggling in a circle and the guys would do it. So they would do it for so long that they would start getting sweaty. And I remember one of our guys took his shirt off cause he didn't want to get it soaking wet before Jack.
What are you doing, man?
And Bez, our president, popped his head in just to say hi. Yeah. And he was just like, he snapped a picture and our next staff meeting, he put that picture up on the TV behind there, you know, where the PowerPoints and stuff were. And, It was great. And, you know, he buys into it too. And we're lucky to work for an organization too that recognizes the importance of being able to do stuff like that.
Definitely.
So prior to me having this job, I spent 5, 6, 7 years, I don't remember how many it was, with the Columbus Crew, working with all of these guys. And this never happened when I was there. Right?
Set the record straight.
But we also never won a championship either.
True. So
we were also miserable.
there was no soccer balls in the entire shop.
Yeah. Well, and there's...
Somebody would take a knife to them. I'm not saying who, but...
No names, but his initials are Weston Abbott.
But really, though, like, how important is that for you? You know, you've chose to stay with the Crew, you know, a long time. How much of that is because the higher up support, you know, what you're doing, how you're running your crew, and the kind of culture you want to create there?
Yeah, that has a big part of it, or a big part to play in it. I mean, as a lot of people that are close to me knows, like, especially the design, construction, and opening of these new venues can be a lot, especially when you're running day to day.
Yeah. Well, you're given that seat at the table to be consultant, and you don't want to mess it up for the rest of who, because there aren't groundskeepers being invited to that table all the time.
Yeah. And I'm really lucky because our symposium this past weekend, you know, it was great for me and my staff to not only talk to every, you know, all the other MLS guys, but, to see that wide range in support, resource allocation, when stuff breaks, our people, do we have the help to make things right so we can run as efficiently and produce the best product possible. Mm-hmm. And, there's a wide range in MLS, and I don't know that we're at the top, but we're up there.
Yeah.
And, it's very reassuring, and, it's a great environment for all of us to thrive and grow.
Ben, and the season started, I think, you know, first practice last year was something like January 6th. And then you guys ended, you know, second week of December. What was the most challenging point of the year that you had? What did you deal with that you look back on that long, you know, 12-month season and say, this sucked?
Man.
Other than this podcast.
Yeah.
This is this year. This is a whole new year. So.
Yeah, this will be in his review for next year.
Man, that's a really hard question because it, you know, I just sitting here thinking off the fly, like, I have no idea. I mean, growing bluegrass in, you know, we're a little bit north of the transition zone, I would say, but, summers are hot and difficult. And given that the two previous summers before were pretty rough for us, playability wise and, just stress and everything that comes along with when your field's not performing the way everybody wants it to. And so, this year we never really ran into that. We were able to maintain through the summer and found a good formula that worked, and very excited to build off of that for next year. But man, if I had to pick one thing, I don't know, the concerts, those suck.
Yeah.
But those are at our old stadium, and that's on synthetic, so I'm not losing sleep over that, but it's just the additional work and coordinating that goes into that stuff.
Well, I talk to Ben all the time on the phone. It's, you know, one of my common calls has been probably 3 times a week. I'll start keeping track so that next year when we have him on, I can ask this question and be like, actually, it looks like August 25th.
The call lasted 37 minutes and it was all negative.
Well, I'll just 1 to 10 scale of how mad he is that day or what kind of issue he has. So,
thank you. That's the data that matters.
Yes. We're data driven. So
it's cool too, because, you know, this will be we haven't been in the stadium quite 3 years yet, but the amount that we get to learn each season, as each season kind of passes and you approach things based off of what worked and what didn't formally, and talking to other people in the league and other similar situations and seeing what they're doing. It's, you know, coming out of winter and trying to host trainings in the middle, late February and host matches, then is it's always stressful. Like this year, we hosted MLS Cup. That came along with, in December, that came along with 5 hours of walkthroughs the Thursday and Friday night prior to that. Mm-hmm. So we had probably 150 people out on the field, staged in corners, standing on the grass, just waiting for cues to kind of like walk through, hold banners, move stages, mm-hmm. And doing multiple walkthroughs of that stuff. And so our corners, especially in the south end that sees a lot of shade, mm-hmm. are really rough right now.
Yeah.
And so, like, not that I can answer this, I have no idea what next year is going to bring, but the next, I would say, month is going to be pretty challenging, trying to make a decent amount of progress with that field. In growing conditions that are obviously not very favorable.
I think, Ben, you know, one of the things that happened in a conversation we had last year was the epiphany of being a groundskeeper, really, is that you go this 11 and a half month season, you win the championship, you guys, you know, get to celebrate, you go on the parade, and then literally the next day, you're sending me pictures that you're aerifying.
Yeah.
You don't get that off window. You're trying to slam, you know, a qualification in there in the process of a 2 week window prior to Christmas, so you can have a 10-day break off.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that is the life of a groundskeeper 101 right mm-hmm. there.
Yeah, so. Yeah, definitely in soccer. It was funny too because you know I had multiple people reach out and you know that next I think it was that Monday and. Just say congratulations. Hope you guys are getting some time off and celebrating. And I was sending back pictures at our training center. We were tarping all the fields at the training center that Monday afterwards. And luckily we got to enjoy the parade on Tuesday, downtown. That was cool. But, it was another good week to 10 days of trying to get things set
back.
Just before Christmas.
Yep.
So, it's year round now. And that's why it is so important to, you know, if there's a week in June where we're slow, just, you know, maybe one person's coming in or the team's away at the training center for four mm-hmm. days and we do what we need to do and then get out of there. And Andrew Northheim at our training center does a great job with that now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really lucky that we've got a good group that really work well together, that are really bonded and support each other and understand each other and, mm-hmm. What they need. And, definitely a good situation.
We've asked a few of the guests to this today, but you know, as a leader or when you're looking to hire, what is that, you know, one thing, that attribute or that value that you're like, it's a non-negotiable, the person has to have this if they're gonna, you know, jive on this crew?
I think it's that. It's trying to figure out if a person is going to come in and be able to work and get along with everybody.
Yep.
And I'm still trying to figure that out, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And because interviewing people, I've been in this role for 5 years and I've made a few full-time hires, but, a few of those were internal and, a couple external, and it's tough, especially with the way the market is right now. And, I know in soccer, it's tough to find people, just to apply that are qualified.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be I would say the highest priority. Cameron Mendel, who we just hired on full time, he's been part time with us for the last 2 years. And he's one of those people that he applied for an internship 2 summers ago.
Mm-hmm.
Loves soccer, has a sports management degree, and came in and just fit in right away.
Mm-hmm.
Was a really quick learner, is excited to be there. I think that's another big thing.
Mm-hmm.
People finding people that are passionate about doing what we do and striving for the best results possible.
Definitely.
And buying into what we're trying to achieve. But he came in and it's basically from day one, I've been fighting to get him on full time.
Yeah.
So, and that goes back to the resources and support. You know, it was either, okay, we're not going to get another full time position,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to have to eventually go find a,
yeah. You had to keep
job.
Him happy until you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot. And, you know, with all the excitement that soccer is going to have in the next year here or so, Do you think there's an opportunity to create visibility for groundskeepers and the role we play and really capitalize on the, you know, the national recognition that soccer is going to have? And, you know, how can we capitalize on that, on that, that, on that, on that to have it be where it's like, oh, people see the other side of it and potentially consider that that's their way to get involved in the game?
Yeah, that's a good question. To be honest, I haven't really thought about that too much.
Well, and it's such a thing where it's like, for an event like that, so many of us are going to be heads down. Like, vendors are going to be like, I got to get this here, I got to get that there. You guys are going to be like, I got to make sure this is that and this is that. That on that on that. And so it's like, it's a missed opportunity if we don't start talking about it now. It's like, how do we capitalize on the, you know, with the Super Bowl every year? It's like, I always feel like it pops out of nowhere. And it's like, oh, we could have been talking about how these professionals are there for a month and how, you know, they are like taking care of this organism for an entire month. Like, people have no idea what that entails. And it's like, so how do you, you know, how can we do that?
That is a really good question. We were lucky enough in the symposium this past weekend to hear Dr. Sorokin and mm-hmm. Dr. Rogers talk about all the research and everything that they're doing with FIFA. Mm-hmm. And then Alan Ferguson and Ewan from FIFA were there, and we all got to meet them and just talk about what things were going to look like and what hear about everything that they're doing and how they are interested in not just coming in and taking over, but really collaborating with us.
Partnership.
And so,
yeah.
I think that is a really good question, because I think there's huge opportunity there mm-hmm. to really, I don't know, not make us the focal point, but really, really get the word out and let everybody know what goes into this.
I'm sure it could be scary in a sense, like, especially our work is going to be on the largest scale in that sense. Like, okay, this may not be the time I want to put my face attached to this, but if we don't do something, it's a missed opportunity for sure.
Did anybody mention social media? What were everybody else's answers? I'm curious.
Oh, I didn't ask anyone else that.
Okay.
Yeah, you're the first soccer guy we had on. But so I did a talk this morning about social media, so I'm kind of plugging my own
Ryan Bajorn is
concept
a soccer
that.
Guy.
Okay, yes, he yes.
Just,
sorry.
No one cares about the
way to mess that up, Meg.
Jeez.
Womp, womp.
But no, yeah, you're the first one I asked just because you know, it feels like an opportunity there, especially with all the hype that's going to be coming around.
Yeah, I can say Andrew at our training center, which we submitted to be a host site mm-hmm. As a training center. And I don't doubt that we'll have a pretty comprehensive digital content footprint.
Yeah, yeah.
If we're to win a bid.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is my pitch that you guys should have me come down a few times. Yeah. And
you're always welcome. Yeah,
I do enjoy Andrew. He was I think he was here the year you couldn't be in Savannah.
Yeah,
and he hopped on the mic with us and enjoyed talking with him. But yeah, definitely, if there's an opportunity, here's my PTO request, Chris, to go. Well, I guess it wouldn't need to be PTO.
No,
I'd be on the
job. You're
working.
I'm not coming.
Jeez.
Nobody invited you.
I would not
come
there.
Oh, Lord.
So for those who don't fully know your facility, you have two stadiums, which is the historic Crew Stadium.
Yeah, you got that name right. It's good.
Well, I drove by the sign a few weeks ago. It's the only reason I know it.
Yep.
Yeah, we got some Ohio flavor.
I thought it was a museum at first, then I realized it's a stadium.
Sometimes it feels like a museum.
And then you have the new stadium, which I don't know the name.
Okay, yeah, that's Lower.com Field.
Lower.com Field. Yeah. And then you have training facilities. And how many pitches do you have there?
So our training center is located directly adjacent to our old historic Crew Stadium in... We have there it's either 46 or 49,000 square foot building with loads of stuff in it. But then also 3.5 grass fields, bluegrass fields. They're all a little different. One's built exactly like LDC, our downtown stadium, mm-hmm. our game field. So it's got hydronic heat, sub-air. And then we've got a second field that doesn't have heat. That has sub air as well. And then a third field that's just kind of there. And then kind of a half field that's oddly shaped. It's like really wide, but a great, great area for warmups and keepers and small sided games and stuff when they're trying to keep air off of the other three fields. And then our the historic crew stadium was that grass, was ripped up a couple of years ago. And
you had to get rid of the stink of Weston.
Yeah, exactly.
That old stadium, though, like if we're being serious, that old stadium had so many groundskeepers go through it in the soccer world that I believe at one time there was five or six head groundskeepers in Major League Soccer that had gotten their start at.
Was Darren Daly there? Yeah,
Darren Daly was the
John
original.
Torres.
John Torres, Mitch Glitz in FC Cincinnati. There's been a handful.
A who's who of the industry, really.
Really, you know, guys getting their start, or gals getting their start there and then moving on to bigger and better places or staying there and having success. So.
Mm-hmm. So you got your hands full with two stadiums and all those practice pitches.
Yeah, and then we're currently adding two more synthetic fields directly south of our training center.
I thought you were going to say two more stadiums. I really did.
Not yet. That's 5 years away. Wow. Update.
How much of managing all of that is just empowering the people to, take charge of it and make it their own?
That's a lot of it. I would say, Andrew does a phenomenal job at the training center and the historic stadium where I'm really just there for support for him. And we'll talk, I don't know, a couple times a week, but I'm really just there to make sure he has what he needs to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a little bit more hands-on at the stadium. We have less people there, and there's a little bit more just for one field with the lights and everything that goes into that. Just doing the musical chairs dance around the lights. But it's trusting that, like I said before, I've got an awesome group. So just giving them the trust and the ability to make decisions. And there's a lot of times where things go wrong and I won't even hear about it for another week or something. I'll hear it secondhand.
That's the best.
it's tremendous. Yeah. I'm really lucky.
Weston or Chris, any questions before we put them on the spot with the weather report?
Oh, it's time. We need a jingle for the weather.
I know we should.
As somebody that used to work there left and they've now won two championships since, like, I'm done with this conversation. Let's just get it. Get through this.
Oh my gosh.
He's not
so the weather report is our the Weston Apfelfeller weather report.
Oh boy.
And
you named it after me.
Because I just like to make you feel uncomfortable. That's the only reason.
The problem is when she asks it on the normal podcast, like when we're out and about at our house or at work doing it, it really worse put on the spot and have to answer it, and I'm never ready for it.
I introduce it as his segment, and then he's like, so I didn't have one today, but
it's like, oh, hold on, can we cut this out as I try to figure it out? So we don't have to do it now.
Well, actually, no, that's a great, what is your weather report?
Weston, what's your weather report?
What's the thing in the industry,
don't do this.
Whether it's this week or just the forecast of what we have coming down the line that has you excited?
I'm just excited for, 2024 to get underway and to see all these guys' work as we go through the year. So that's my excitement, my weather report.
Ben, what would you say you are excited, looking at the weather forecast of the industry? What has you excited for going into the year?
I think, for me, it's, I guess, hopeful that and I think I speak as an MLS group, but obviously it's, I would reference the industry as a whole, just how I see our league growing and expanding and getting more, I don't know how to put this. It was a good question, but getting more, not just like resources and support, but raising the standard to where you know it can go. I think
elevating it to that
attention.
Next level.
Yeah. I think all of us as groundskeepers were, if you ask anybody that, they're never 100% happy with what they're doing and with the fields that they work on, and just continuing to raise that bar and see see how much better we can make things.
Yeah.
And I think, I, you know,
I, not to age you, Ben, but you're like an original in the MLS. First stadium, you know, when it opened, you were around their games or working, right? So yeah. You're very much an MLS 1.0 groundskeeper.
Darren hired me in high school.
In an MLS 4.0 world.
That's incredible.
So you've seen it all. But
yeah. That's very cool.
And we've come a long way.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, it's incredible. Even just 5 years ago,
yep.
Obviously for our team, but you look around the league as a whole and it's crazy. Just
we do have a listener question that just got texted to me.
I love it.
a person walking by was admiring your sneakers and asked for the story on them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, those are flashy. I wish we had a camera at this site.
Hey, Ryan Bajorn, the question's been asked. Look, he's got sneakers.
He's
on.
Got some sneaker game as well.
Those are nice.
What's
so
the
for
story?
Anyone that can't see, Ben's got flashy orange Nikes. I think that's what I'm seeing.
Air Force Ones.
So let's hear the story.
I wore those for Weston. an old friend got them for me as a gift.
Yeah. Back story. The head coach of the U.S. men's national team was once with the Columbus Crew.
Okay.
And in order to get good grass, I might have traded out, or not in order to get good grass, but in order for him to train on a certain part of the field, I might have traded that out for a pair of shoes.
I love it.
And the next week he went to Columbus, and because he bought me a pair, he knew that Ben would find out. And so Ben got a pair too.
I got a text after the game, and he asked me my address because he was going to send me shoes, and I was like, you don't have to do that, man. Like,
you have to do this, man.
So
that's incredible.
Wes, you got high tops, right?
I did, yeah.
Do you still have them? Because his are in, like, mint condition.
I will not wear them out of my house.
Yet. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, those are pretty sick.
I save mine for special occasions like this.
Trade show.
Yeah. The Groundskeeper Chat podcast. Yep. Yeah. Well, thank you again for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, man.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you, guys. Bye.